Isn't God so good? Here we go. When we sing about Jesus, I can never understand how we can just sing about Jesus. Like, really. I almost just feel to not even preach and just cry. And not because I'm sad, but because of who he is. And I think what we can do sometimes is just miss the whole point of who he is, the intention of why he came here on this earth. And my prayer is that over this Christmas season, and I know it's hard sometimes for us to just erase what we know, but I want you to erase what you know. Because sometimes we can just say, yeah, I know he came in a manger, you know, born of a virgin, yada, yada, yada. And we kind of just pay no attention. But my heart today, and I know for the elders as we preach over the next several weeks, is that you would just have a new revelation of who Jesus is, what he did, why he came, and most importantly, that it wasn't just for me. He would have, but at the end of the day, it's just not about for me, but it's about for this whole world. And so, yes, we are going to start this series called Christ Has Come. I hope you're excited about that. Christ has come, right? And what we're going to do is, during this season, a lot of Christians refer to this season as Advent. We celebrate Advent. And the simplest way to really explain Advent, it's a time of remembering the birth of Jesus. It's a time of focusing back on that moment and what that means to us and to this world, and also anticipating his second coming. Because how many of us know he's coming again? And so during this Christmas season, we're going to look at some aspects of Advent. However, we won't be looking at the symbolisms of Advent, but we are going to look to a Savior who was born and what that meant for the world back then and what he means for the world today. And so this is a time and season, especially in the chaos that surrounds us, for us as believers to really shout and proclaim through our words and actions that Christ has come. There is a hope when you feel hopeless. There is a light when all you see is darkness all around you. When all you see is turmoil and conflict, there is a person who is your peace. In times of isolation and loneliness, which a lot of us can relate to over the last 9 months, there is an unconditional love that you can experience that will state that you are not alone. And in times of great loss and sorrow, there is a joy like no other. And this is the good news in this season, that a Savior has been born, that Christ has come. Isaiah 7:14 says, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel. And she will call his name Emmanuel, God with us. And so what I'm going to be preaching on this morning is Jesus, the light of the world. Jesus, the light of the world. And so we see here in Isaiah 7:14, the prophecy that Isaiah gives regarding Jesus. And that through a pure virgin girl would come a pure light. And as Mary gives life to a baby boy, this baby boy would be the source of life and light to this world. But how many of us know, in order to understand this light, we kind of have to know where this light came from, where it originated from. And so for this topic that we're going to talk about, I want us just to revisit Genesis chapter 1. And so in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 to 3, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, 'Let there be light.' And there was light." How many of us are happy that he actually said, "Let there be light"? Or else a lot of us would just be walking in darkness. But we'll get into that point. So into the darkness came a light. But how did the light get there? How did the light get there? Well, by the voice of God and by the word of God. And you see, light came into the darkness. Jesus said, "Let there be light," and light came into the darkness. And so light comes into the darkness. There's light. And then God says, "That was good." And you see, God works the same way today. See, the word of God is the light of God. I don't know if you've been listening over the last several weeks, but how many of us know that we actually really pay attention to the word of God around here and the Spirit of God? But we keep wanting to encourage us every single day, get into the word. Why? Because the word is your light. And so the word of God is a light. But can I just let you know this morning that this is not a book, but it is his voice. It's his voice speaking to us through these books. You guys are really quiet, but that's fine. And the voice is the light of God speaking into our lives. In Psalm 119, it says that your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And I'm not sure about you, but I believe that barbecue season is 365 days every day, no matter what, winter, spring, sleet, fall, summer, hurricanes, no matter what. I believe in barbecuing. Amen. Thank you. But here's where the issue is. For us right now, darkness comes around 4:30, between 4:30 and 5 o'clock, around dinner time, at least for us. And so my issue now is that if I want a barbecue, I need to find a light. But how many of us know that we don't believe in flashlights anymore? We believe in cell phone lights. And so when it's time for me to go and barbecue, I need to find my cell phone and make sure that I get to that barbecue safe and sound. Because I know if I trip, especially with the food, there's going to be a whole lot of trouble in my house. But that is the same with the Word of God. So no matter what you're going through, what the situation is that you're facing, no matter what the decisions that you have to make, it's always come to, how does light come into these areas of my life? I just tell you, simple truth. It comes by opening up the Word, which is the voice of God, and allowing the Spirit of God to bring this Word to life as you shine this Word on your path. And so this word is powerful. It is powerful. But can I let you know this? It's also the predicament. Why? Because the Bible says that your word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. But here's the predicament. Is when I close the voice, I have no light. I have no light. And can I encourage you to keep the voice speaking to you? Let the voice keep speaking to you. Because we don't want to be a people that shuts the voice. And then there's no light to our path. And so we see that back in Genesis chapter 1, we see that the condition of the world was formless, void, and dark. It was formless, void, and dark. And then light steps in and then takes what's formless and brings structure to it. Takes what's void, fills it up, and brings life and brings life to it. And then darkness was put on its heels. But here's the thing is, how many of us know that that wasn't just the condition of the world, but that was actually the condition of our life before we met Jesus? Our life was formless, void, and dark. But here's the beauty is that God is always wanting to form us. And he is forming us more into the likeness of his son, Jesus. And every void thing that is in our life, he empties it out and fills it with him. So that darkness has no area in our lives to creep through because of the light of Christ that shines in us. You with me? Wonderful. And so the same God that spoke light into the world wants to speak life in your darkness. He wants to take those empty places, those struggles, that depression, those suicidal thoughts, that negativity. And he says, I want to illuminate those dark places, fill your voids with my life, and set you on a path full of purpose and fruitfulness. Because here's the thing is, while Jesus was on the earth and he was talking with various people, he was healing, doing healings and miracles with different people. Man, he had to debate with Pharisees and Sadducees all the time. Meanwhile, they just wanted to debate with him, and all he wanted was to deliver them from their blindness. But here's the thing about Jesus. Jesus was never about being right, but he was always about bringing light to people's lives. Yes, he was truth. He's grace and truth. He was all about truth, but he was never about being right. He was about being truth. He is truth, but he was never about being right. He was always about bringing light to people's lives. He wanted the darkness of people's hearts exposed, not to say that they were bad people. Hey, you're not a bad person. The world is not bad people. Am I speaking to myself? Okay. But to show them that there was a better life that they could experience in him if they would only believe. All he's asking is for us to believe. But more so, wanting the world to believe that he is the light of the world. And so, the first area I just want us to look at is Jesus, the light to the Jews. And so, John chapter 12, verse 46 says, I have come into the world as a light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. And then John chapter 1, verse 11 says, he came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. And so we see again that the Jewish people, formless, void, and dark. And we have to understand this about Jesus and his ministry, is that Jesus was born into a Jewish family and was trained according to Jewish law in a Jewish town. Jesus selected Jewish disciples, spoke in Jewish synagogues and the Jewish temple, and traveled mostly in Jewish areas. His mission and fulfillment of the Jewish prophets was to the Jewish people. However, none of this means that Jesus' ministry was limited exclusively to the Jews. Yeah. How many of you say thank you? And you see, the reason why this is so important is that Paul says that he was first to the Jews and then to the Greeks. His intention was to reconcile his people, his chosen people Israel. That was his heart. And for many, many years, all they did was essentially slap God in the face and say, I want nothing to do with you. Resist him. And all the time, he's trying to make a way for his people, his chosen people, that he promised to Abram in Genesis chapter 12, made a covenant, made a promise with Abram about these people. And then in Deuteronomy 14, 2, he says about the whole Jewish people, he says, the Lord has chosen you to be a people for his own possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. He chose them. He wanted them. But they didn't want him. It reminds me of, you know the friend, and please don't lie, you know the friend that wants to be your, or the person that wants to be your friend, or that colleague that wants to be like chummy with you, and you're just like, oh my gosh, they're driving me crazy. Right? I believe that's how God was with his people, trying to make every opportunity just to have a relationship with his people. And can I say he's given us the opportunity to have a relationship with him this day. You guys are very quiet. They had every opportunity to encounter the light of Christ. So why did they not receive Jesus? It's just simply this. It's because they chose to. Like, let's not get it twisted. Let's not make this thing complicated. They wholeheartedly chose not to. And this world that we live in wholeheartedly chooses not to. Wholeheartedly. But there is a light. There is a light. And his name is Jesus. And so, can you imagine for those that rejected Jesus, in the aftermath of, this is where my mind went, in the aftermath of him being on earth for 3 years, doing all the ministry that he did to various people, he dies on a cross, goes into a tomb. 3 days later, he's resurrected, now sitting at the right hand of the Father where he makes forever intercession for us. And then what happens? I want to know that next day what those Jewish people thought. Did any of them actually think, what is wrong with us? What is wrong with me? Did we actually miss the moment? Did we miss the moment? Or more, is did we miss the Messiah while he was here face to face? I mean, you have to imagine, as real as Mark is sitting in that chair right there, as real as Jesus was there at that time. The Messiah was looking straight in their eyes, and they denied him. It's incredible. But here's where the good news is, that in Matthew 15, it's a story of the Canaanite woman. And Jesus is on his travel, and he comes across this Canaanite woman, and she screams, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And the thing is that she had a child, a daughter, that was demon-possessed. And then Jesus doesn't respond to her. And she keeps crying out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And then finally Jesus says, "Listen," and I'm just going to paraphrase, but he says, "Listen, my job was not to come to your people. I came for the lost sheep of Israel. That's why I'm here. I'm not here for you." And you might think, man, that is, Jesus is cold. But no, he was on mission because that wasn't his intention. But here's the beauty of it. She screamed all the more. She persisted all the more. And guess what he did? He healed her daughter. And what that is we can overlook that story. But here's the beauty of that story is at that time, a Gentile was healed. A Gentile was healed. And so the second point I want to get into is Jesus, the light to the Gentiles. And so in Luke chapter 2, 25 to 32, it says, "Now there is a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ." Man, that's incredible. "And he came in the Spirit, and he came in the spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples.'" Verse 32, "A light for the revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." It's a beautiful passage there. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. I know I put a whole bunch there, but then I scrapped it after. But it says, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. And those who dwell in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone." Can I declare over Pickering and the Durham region that a light has shone? And then in Isaiah 49, 5 to 6 says, "And now the Lord speaks, the one who formed me my mother's womb to be his servant, who commissioned me to bring Israel back to him. The Lord has honored me, and my God has given me strength. He says, 'You will do more than restore the people of Israel to me. I will make you a light to the Gentiles, and you will bring my salvation to the ends of the earth.'" So how many of us know that Jesus being born was not only for the Jews, but for the Gentiles as well? And maybe for some of us, we're thinking, you know, you might be new to the faith, you might be new in knowing Jesus, and you're like, what is even a Gentile? Really simple. A Gentile is just someone who was not born of a Jew, who was not born a Jew. And maybe I would think most of us are Gentiles, right? Praise God for being a Gentile. But God never intended... So God never had the intention of not reaching the Gentiles with the gospel. Yes, his priority was first to the Jews because of the covenant he had with Abram. However, Jesus had a way of attracting many kinds of different people to him. You guys, I love that about Jesus. He just attracted all kinds of people. And I mean, we have a joke as an eldership where we just say, we're a church of, and it's, sorry, it's not a joke, but we have a thing for us where we say, we are a church of the whosoever. Whoever God brings to us, thank you. And that was kind of the thing with Jesus. Whoever was attracted to him, Jesus was like, hey, how can I help you? My door is open. What can I do for you? And he just related to them in such an incredible way. It reminded me of in our front yard right now, we have a blow-ups. Thank God for blow-ups. Not really. But we have a big teddy bear blow-up. And it's a mechanical one. You should see this thing. It just sits there and, right, on the front lawn. But can I tell you how many people come on our front lawn to take a picture with the teddy bear? And every time we're just like peeking through, there's somebody else, there's somebody else, there's somebody else. But to imagine that a teddy bear sitting there with their arms open, this mechanical teddy bear, would attract all kinds of people, grown-ups, kids, babies, teenagers, and they're all just chilling on our lawn, taking selfies and pictures with the teddy bear. That's the kind of community we live in. But all that to say is, imagine what light attracts. Light attracts all kinds of things, all kinds of people. And so, Jesus had this amazing ability to attract people from all ways of life. Attracted poor, rich, those with high positions, those with low positions in society according to what man deemed as bottom. But then I remember the two demon-possessed men in the region of the Gadarenes. And you find that in Matthew chapter 8, verse 28 to 34. And Jesus steps off the boat into Gadarenes. And these two demon-possessed guys were in the cave, in the tomb. And they come shouting and stuff. But it's not them, of course. It's the demons inside of these men. And they're being violent and they're just going crazy. And then the demons speak to Jesus and say, Jesus, what are you doing? You're messing up what we got going on here. Why are you interrupting what we got going on here? And then they say, listen, if you're going to cast us out, at least cast us out in those herd of pigs over there. And Jesus is like, yeah, that's no problem. So Jesus says, okay, get out of them. Get into those pigs. And then the demons go into the pigs. And then they go off the hillside into the water and they drown. Praise God. But then that first moment there is that Jesus goes and he heals these two Gentiles and sets them free. And it brings me to another story of the 10 lepers. And the 10 lepers, they get healed, but one of them is a Samaritan that comes back, a Gentile. And I'm sure Jesus is just flabbergasted that a Samaritan would come back because that is just, it just doesn't happen at that time. A Samaritan comes back and says, thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for healing me. A Samaritan, the scum of the earth, comes back to Jesus and says, thank you. Meanwhile, the others were like, hey, peace, thank you, from afar. You know, no thank you to Jesus to his face. Hey. But a Gentile has that heart to come to Jesus. I mean, Do you see the picture I'm trying to paint here? Gentiles aren't supposed to do this back then. They're Gentiles. There's no relationship there. They're not the chosen people. But yet these Gentiles saw something in Jesus and was attracted to him. And then it reminds me of the story of the Roman centurion whose servant needed to be healed. And in doing the research, I didn't know about most of this, but it was pretty interesting that in those times he would have been a commander of a band of about 100 foreign soldiers, and they would be quartered in Capernaum to keep the peace. And so this Roman leader would have been despised by the Jews. Don't worry, it'll be funny at the end. So this Roman leader was despised by the Jews because the Jews resented anything to do with army occupation. Right? So I hope you get to laugh like I got to laugh after. And so, conscious of his own authority as a military man, he humbly assured Jesus that it was not necessary for him to go to his house to heal his servant. And the reason why the centurion didn't want to invite Jesus to his house is because he was a Gentile. And so if he was to, he didn't want to risk Jesus going to his house and being unclean. It was new to me, so I thought, hey, freely give it to you. But he says, but only say the word and my servant will be healed. And he declared with genuine faith in Matthew chapter 8, verse 8. And then Jesus turns around and announces to the Jewish crowd, which was following him. And he says, truly, I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith. Talk about Jewish people getting offended at that moment. It's funny when you start to unpack this stuff. I mean, man, Jesus was, hey, you know, I wouldn't have wanted to mess with him back then, seriously, or now. And he didn't even stop there, but he continued with this prediction. He says, I tell you, many such foreigners shall come from the east and the west to join Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. He's telling the Jewish people this about their people. But many others who thought they were sons of the kingdom shall be shut out. You have to understand. Jesus is like, listen, I gave you an opportunity and you denied me. You didn't want anything to do with me. So yeah, I'm taking this message to the Gentiles now. And guess what? This word is going to go into all the earth, and people from the east, the west, the north, and the south, they're all going to come together, and the gospel will be heard to these people. And so these men and women were drawn to Jesus. And instead of running from Jesus, they drew closer to him because they knew in him was not light, not just light, but also life. And in John 1:1-5, it says, In the beginning the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Can I just declare that the darkness cannot distinguish the light of Christ in this region, in your family, in your workplaces, in your schools, in the malls, in this whole region, in this nation, in this world. But I really want us to believe that. Because that's the whole point of this. In our hearts, we need to believe that. That no darkness can extinguish what Christ has done. And so just like the sun gives light freely to everyone in the world, Jesus gives spiritual light to anyone who looks to him. And then I just want to end with my third point, which is you are the light of the world. In John, Jesus announced to everybody, I am the light of the world. And that's a whole other sermon, what that meant. Because when I unpacked that, I was like, whoa, that's what that meant. But then he says, you are the light of the world. You, watching online, here, in this building, and you know Jesus as your personal Savior, you are the light of the world. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are the light of the world. And so you are the light of the world. Matthew chapter 5, sorry. There you go. Verse 14 to 16 says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand and gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. The Creator of light sends his Son to be the light into this world and so that we can be reflectors of this light. I like to say this many times, but Jesus came here to put a face on God, and we're here on this earth now to put a face on Jesus. Jesus came here on earth to put a face on God, of who God is. And now we're here on this earth to put a face on who Jesus is. That's like church. The gospel is simple and we've made it complicated. We've made this whole thing complicated. You are the light of the world. I am the light of the world. And of course, the question is, what are we doing with this light that he's given to us? What are we doing with it? Because here's the scary thing. And I won't use the scary, sorry, not the scary thing, but here's the fear of the Lord to me. Is I'm accountable. When we get to heaven, we are accountable to God. It wasn't just let my son come into the world, born of a virgin. He'll do some ministry on the earth. He'll die. He'll be in a tomb. He'll be resurrected. You get this wonderful chance now to receive him as your Lord and Savior. And once you do that, you can just go about your merry way. We've missed it, if that is what we think. God never told the world to go to the church, but told the church to go to the world. But yet we expect, and it's great, bring people to church. But that's not what he said. His word didn't say bring people to church. He said, you, the light of the world, go into the world. Go into the world and let your light shine. And man, let it shine so bright that it draws people not to you, but to me. Right? It's such a wonderful privilege. An opportunity we have every single day to be lights for Jesus. To be light for Jesus. Two things and I'll end with. It says, I wrote here, during this Christmas season, we have a great opportunity to show people our light, which will point people to the light. And it's not a time to be hidden, but a time to reveal and be reflectors of his marvelous light. And this is what happens when light attracts. Light attracts a black person. Light attracts is a white person. Light attracts Asian person. Then light attracts a South Asian person. Light attracts a rich person. Light attracts a poor person. Light attracts a limbed person. And light attracts a whole person. Light attracts those with tons of issues. And what happens is Jesus, through his light, attracts all these different kind of people and brings them into community. Like, he brings them into community so that community can then shine that light to other communities, to their families, to their workplaces, to the nations. And so Jesus being the light of the world during this season, can I just encourage us? That it's about his light. It's about his light and what he wants to do through you, through me. And what an incredible season. I mean, it's an incredible season we're in. With all the madness going on, for us to take this opportunity, not to miss the moment, but to take the opportunity and say, Christ has come. Jesus, the light of the world, has come. Yeah, you're in darkness, but there is a light. And I want to introduce you to this light. I want to introduce you to this light, because once I introduce you to this light, darkness will disappear. Yeah, you're going to go through some stuff, but that darkness in your heart, that spiritual darkness, will disappear, and a light will come where those void places were, feeling empty. Christ will come and fill that with his spirit, which will always be with you. And then he will form you and shape you ultimately into the image of his son, Jesus. It's wonderful. I can just say, for those watching online, and maybe you're here and you don't know who Jesus is, it's an opportunity for you to know who Jesus is. And if you are watching online, and by any chance you just came across it, and it's not live stream, but you just came across this YouTube video, I just want to give an opportunity for you to know that Jesus loves you, that he can be your light in your darkness that you're experiencing right now. And if that is you and you come across this video, I want you to just leave a comment for us. And reach out to us. And we would love to pray with you. And if there's anybody here, and maybe your heart isn't right, for whatever reason, maybe we all go through some stuff, I just want to know that Jesus is your light today. Jesus is your light today. And not just for today, but for eternity. Amen. Amen. So I just want to pray. Let me just pray. So Father, I thank you for this moment that we've had together. And Father, I thank you for your word that is a lamp unto our feet and a light into our path. And Father, for those that are struggling with what path they're going on right now. Father, I pray, Lord, that your light would illuminate their path today. If there's darkness that are filling hearts today, Father, I pray, Lord, that illumination would drown out the darkness in hearts today. And we just want to take this time and say, thank you, Father, that you would send your son Jesus for us. Not just for the Jews, but for the Gentiles. And Father, I thank you that your gospel is for everyone. And so today I pray, Lord, that we would take your word and we would run with it. Father, I pray we wouldn't just walk with it. We would run with your word. Spread in light to all those that we encounter each and every day. And so I thank you. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for what you're doing even now. In Jesus' name, amen.